Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're strapping in for a pretty major infrastructure overhaul.
A big one.
We are diving deep into that massive challenge facing so many growing businesses, migrating their core systems to the cloud, specifically Microsoft Azure.
Right.
And our mission in this deep dive is to really extract the plan, the precision needed to pull off an Azure cloud migration for SMBs, small and medium-sized businesses, with that, you know, that golden goal in mind.
Zero downtime.
Zero downtime.
Yeah, and that phrase, zero downtime, it's really the difference between a successful business transformation and, well, a week of sleepless nights and angry customers.
Oh, I can only imagine.
We've looked at the sources, the case studies, and they provide a really comprehensive phased blueprint. Mm. We need to pull out not just the steps, but the insights that remove that risk.
Absolutely. But before we get into the eight phases, let's quickly frame the why. I mean, why is this happening now? Why are so many SMBs looking at Azure specifically?
Well, for SMBs, it all boils down to agility and capability. If you're running a growing business today, you need enterprise-grade resources. You need robust security, the ability to scale, good disaster recovery, but you can't afford a giant IT department.
Right, you don't have the headcount.
Exactly. Azure gives you that high-end capability without the overhead. The sources point to businesses in really competitive markets, like Orange County, for example. For them, it's just essential.
So it's a competitive edge.
It is. It's how they manage huge data volumes, get rid of fragile old hardware, and just stay agile enough to compete.
Okay, so zero downtime migration is the goal. But for anyone who hears migration and just pictures servers getting unplugged in a weekend-long outage, what does that actually look like in practice?
It means we avoid that big switch moment entirely. You're not flipping one switch. Zero downtime relies on a really careful phased implementation.
Using specific tools, I assume?
Yeah, continuous replication and sync tools. So your core applications, your data, they all stay live and functional, serving customers during the whole process.
So the complexity is in the planning.
It's in the planning and the initial choice. Do you go for lift and shift, just moving the server as is, which is faster? Or do you refactor it, redesign the app to be cloud native, which takes more time but saves you money later?
And that choice dictates everything else.
It sets the tone for the entire project.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We need to dive into those critical early phases, starting with the groundwork.
The foundation.
Okay.
Phase one, assessment and discovery. This is the stage that prevents the biggest early risk.
Which is?
Hidden dependencies. You have to catalog everything. I mean, everything. Applications, databases, servers, and all those invisible connections between them. If you skip this, you're just flying blind.
I can just picture that risk. You know, a system looks totally independent, but it's secretly pointing to some shared folder or relying on a clock-in server that no one's thought about in 10 years.
That's exactly it. I actually saw a mission-critical app fail during a test cutover once because of that.
Yeah.
It was calling an old authentication server that was supposed to be decommissioned. Nobody knew until the system just went dark. So a thorough cloud readiness assessment, that dependency mapping, it has to find those links. If you miss one, you cause downtime.
And this is also where you lock in that strategy you mentioned, lift and shift versus refactoring.
Exactly. Speed versus long-term efficiency. You have to decide that here.
So once we have that complete map of what exists, we move to phase two, strategic planning and architecture. This is where we start designing the new home in the cloud.
Precisely. And the core design principle here is elasticity.
Elasticity, meaning it can stretch and shrink.
Right. For an SMB, every dollar counts.
Right.
So your architecture has to be able to flex resources up for, say, a Black Friday sale and then scale right back down automatically when it's quiet.
That pay for what you use model is the whole point.
It's central to the ROI.
And security, which of course is non-negotiable, that has to be integrated right here at the architectural level, not bolted on later.
It has to be baked in. This is where you leverage Azure's own tool set.
Right.
You're integrating Azure Security Center for threat detection. You're setting up network security groups.
That digital moats around the important stuff.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And crucially, you define identity management with Azure Active Directory. This centralizes control, which is a massive security leap for most SMBs. And of course, encryption everywhere. At rest, in transit, no exceptions.
Okay, moving to phase three, this sounds more like the governance stage. You're setting up the rules of the road before anyone starts driving.
It is the governance phase, building the Azure foundation. Here we set up what are called landing zones.
Landing zones.
Think of them as pre-built standardized environments. Security is pre-configured, Network rules are set. It just ensures every new thing you deploy meets your standards from the start. This prevents what the sources call configuration drift.
Configuration drift. That sounds like that slow, creeping chaos that just destroys security and compliance over time.
It is the enemy of efficiency and security. So to prevent it, you use frameworks like Azure Policy.
So that lets you enforce rules.
Yeah, rules like no new virtual machine can be created without encryption being turned on. And you use role-based access control, or RBAC.
Which is just a fancy way of saying.
Only the people who absolutely need access to the payroll database can actually get to it.
Yeah.
It's about that consistency. It's vital.
Now we get to the phase the source material really highlights as the cornerstone of this whole thing. This is the ultimate insurance policy. Phase 4, data protection, specifically immutable backups.
This is where SMBs really gain enterprise-grade defense. Immutability is the ultimate safety net, especially during a migration when things might be more vulnerable.
Define immutable for us.
An immutable backup, by definition, cannot be altered, deleted, or encrypted for a set period of time. Not by a person, not by a system compromise, and most importantly, not by ransomware.
Hold on. If the data can't be deleted, even by an admin, what about storage costs? I mean, that copy has to sit somewhere, and that could be for years.
That's a critical question, especially for a cost-sensitive SMB. You're right. So while immutability is essential, you have to be really precise with your retention policies.
So you don't keep things forever.
Right. You store those tamper-proof copies in cheaper storage tiers, like Azure Blob Storage, often using tools like Veeam, and you make sure the retention period matches your legal needs, not a day longer. You don't want to pay for 5 years of storage if you only legally need two.
And before we even think about moving production data, we have to test our recovery goals, RPO and RTO. Can you break those down in business terms?
Absolutely. This is all about business risk. Your RTO, recovery time objective, is how fast you must be back online after a disaster. If your RTO is 2 hours, you have 120 minutes to be back in business.
Or you start losing serious money.
Exactly. And your RPO, recovery point objective, is how much data you can afford to lose. An RPO of 15 minutes means you're okay with potentially losing the last quarter hour of transactions. You have to test those targets before the move to prove Azure can actually meet them.
So now we're shifting from planning and preparing to actually doing phase 5, the crucial dry run.
You have to start small. You never, ever migrate the whole kingdom at once. You begin with non-critical workloads, maybe a dev environment or a test server.
Just to prove that all that planning actually works.
Exactly. In a low-risk setting.
And what are the tools that make this kind of testing possible without just shutting things down?
We rely heavily on a tool called Azure Site Recovery, or ASR. ASR isn't just a backup tool. It's a continuous, near real-time synchronization engine.
So it keeps the cloud copy and the on-prem copy almost perfectly in sync.
Identical, which is essential for low-risk testing. And this pilot phase is where you document everything, every error, every performance hiccup. You use that to refine your plan before you touch anything that makes money.
Okay, successful pilot done. Procedures are refined. Now for phase 6, production migration. This is the moment of truth, and we still need to hit that zero downtime goal. How do you manage that?
We do it with parallel operations. Your existing fully functional system stays online while the synchronized Azure copies are running right alongside it in parallel.
And ASR is what keeps them in sync right up to the last second.
Up to the very moment of cutover. You schedule a very brief planned maintenance window, late at night ideally, and you perform a switch, not a big, messy installation.
Wait a minute. If you're running two environments in parallel, doesn't that double your infrastructure costs for a while? How do SMBs manage that financially?
That's the exact challenge, and the answer is all about precision timing. You keep that overlap period as short as humanly possible.
I see.
Because the heavy lifting, the big data transfer, has already happened in the background, you can keep that synchronization window incredibly tight, sometimes just a few hours or a single weekend. And the cost of a few hours of parallel ops is, you know, almost always way less than the cost of 1 hour of real downtime.
And if that switch fails, what's the safety net?
That is the genius of ASR. It's the failback capability. Mm. If you hit a critical, unexpected problem, you can immediately revert the workload right back to your on-premises system.
No data loss.
No data loss, minimal disruption. And for the databases themselves, we use the Azure Database Migration Service to keep every single transaction synced during that cutover. It ensures total consistency.
So the workloads are now running successfully in Azure. Phase 6 is done. But the sources are really clear. The journey is not over. Phase 7 is all about getting that ROI.
Right. If you don't nail Phase 7 optimization and cost management, you can risk the entire project's value. A lot of SMBs, to be safe, they initially over-provision their virtual machines.
Meaning they bought way more power than they actually needed.
Exactly. So the first job is cutting the fat. You have to right-size those VMs based on actual usage data from Azure Monitor, not just your initial guesses.
Okay, so right-sizing is number one. What else?
Three other key things. First, auto-scaling policies. This moves you from paying for potential capacity to paying for actual demand. That can often cut your initial compute bill by 20-30%.
That's a huge shift from static on-prem hardware.
It is. Second, you have to be aggressive about your storage tiers. Old data, compliance archives, they need to be moved from expensive premium storage to the much cheaper cool or archive tiers. It's easy money to save.
And the third major lever, I think I know this one, it's about using what you already own.
It is. The Azure hybrid benefit. If you have existing Windows Server or SQL Server licenses, you can reuse them in the cloud. For an SMB, this can cut your compute costs by up to 40%, just like that.
Wow.
Failing to do those four things is the number one financial mistake post-migration.
Okay, on to phase 8. The work shifts from building to maintaining, keeping it secure and reliable forever.
This is ongoing management. You need total visibility. So you're using Azure Monitor and Azure Security Center to proactively track performance and budget. You set up alerts not just for failures, but for weird activity, budget overruns, or configuration changes. That drift we talked about.
Let's quickly tie this back to those local considerations you mentioned earlier. How do compliance needs, like for businesses in Orange County, get baked into this process?
Oh, it's massive. For a healthcare SMB, HIPAA compliance is everything. So those controls, data encryption, access logging, they have to be designed in from phase 2. For a financial firm, it's about audit trails and data residency, which you enforce with those Azure policy guardrails back in phase 3.
Now, even with a perfect plan, things go wrong. What are the top 3 snags SMBs usually hit?
The case studies are pretty consistent on this. Number one, those complex application dependencies again. They're always more tangled than you think.
And the solution is just more testing.
More detailed mapping and rigorous multi-stage testing. No shortcuts.
Challenge 2.
Network performance. After the move, SMBs can struggle with a slow or unreliable connection to the cloud. The ideal solution is something called ExpressRoute, but for most, the practical answer is a really well-optimized encrypted VPN tunnel.
And the third obstacle sounds like it's about people.
It is. Skills gaps and resistance to change. The solution is either targeted Azure training for your own staff, or you partner with experts who fill that gap for you, and you communicate clearly why the move is happening.
So if we zoom all the way out, looking at this whole 8-phase process, what's the core value here? What makes all this work worth it for an SMB?
It's fundamentally about getting superior security and resilience at a fraction of the cost of building it yourself.
Things they could never afford on-prem.
Never. Azure gives you things like DDoS mitigation and advanced threat protection out of the box. And because of the geographically distributed data centers, those RTO and RPO targets become a consistent reality, not just a best-case scenario.
And what about the benefits they maybe weren't even expecting, the secondary wins?
They often find these unexpected levers for growth. Things like improved developer productivity because it's so much easier to spin up new environments. Or faster insights from data analytics tools. These things weren't the main goal, but they deliver huge value and make them more competitive.
So to wrap this all up, let's leave our listeners with something to think about.
Okay. If we connect this all to the bigger picture, it raises a really important question for you to mull over. If cloud environments are constantly evolving and your own metrics for success are about availability and performance, how do you make sure your disaster recovery drills, which you have to test quarterly, are actually reflecting the system's current state and not the state it was in 6 months ago when you first migrated? That continuous validated resilience, that's the real difference between just having a plan and having true operational security.